You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 17th of October 2022 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today I want to look at some more positive news from our Home Secretary, Suella Braverman, and I've spoken before about how she has caused the police force to take down a tweet. She's gone after the courts for allowing the people that pulled down the Edward Colston statue for letting them get off, essentially. She went to the courts and the courts have said that this was a violent act and is not therefore covered under the prevention of people from being interfered with when they are peacefully protesting. She's also talked about how parents need to take schools to court because schools should not be socially transitioning the pupils there, because you cannot actually change your gender on your birth certificate until you are 18. So the school should be referring to the children by their birth gender. So she's on the right, basically, of the Conservative Party. And over the weekend, she's been in the news again. And I was actually following this as it was happening on Twitter. Harry Miller, whose organisation Fair Cop looks at these free speech issues, he was the one that brought this to the Home Secretary's attention, and he was the ex-police officer who was arrested by the police, saying that they needed to check his thinking because he had said that there were only two genders on Twitter. And he basically took the police to court. There was a judicial review, and the police were told that they have to be very careful when they are recording these non-crime hate incidents. And in actual fact, I think they were told that they have to actually prove there was some hostility there before recording a hate incident, a non-crime hate incident, I believe they're called. And Priti Patel said that she was going to be investigating this, and this new guidance came out. And this was carried out by this Harry Miller. And if you look on Twitter, you'll find him under We Are Fair Cop. And he basically looks at what the police are putting out on social media. And if they are putting out information that is incorrect, then he highlights it. And a lot of the information they're putting out about so-called hate crimes are incorrect. And this one in particular, this one that we're talking about today, this involves so-called dead naming, where somebody refers to a transgender by their birth gender. Now, that may not be because people are hostile to the person or they want to carry out violence against the person. It may just be because they have a deeply held belief that you cannot change gender. So that is not hostile, is it, to believe that there are just males and females in this world? I mean, if you're a Christian, then you believe that as part of your religion. It doesn't mean that you are being hostile to transgenders by saying this. And yet that's what was implied by this tweet that Leicestershire police put out. So we'll have a look at this article here, and there are other things that she's done as well that we might have time to get into as well. A police force has deleted a social media post encouraging trans people to report dead naming as a hate crime after an intervention from the Home Secretary. Now it's debatable it's not even a crime, is it? Because it's just speaking. Crime should really be just to do with violence. But they do say, well, speech can be a crime. But really, if they're going to call this, if they're going to call somebody's speech a hate crime, they should really just call it hate speech, I think, rather than a hate crime. But speech can now be considered a crime, but not necessarily in this case, where it was just so-called dead naming, and there was no evidence that the person that was doing the dead naming had any meant it as a hostile act or meant it to try and encourage violence against the transgender. And also, it didn't actually take place. It was fictitious. So the police were saying this is a fictitious example of what a hate crime is. And it isn't a hate crime. And that's been established, that it's not a hate crime to refer to somebody by their former gender, or by the birth gender, I should say. Leicestershire police took to Twitter to encourage people who are transgender to report when a person deliberately refers to someone by their pre-transition name. And this also plays into, have the police really got the time to do this? I mean, you could say that this is discourteous, maybe. But then again, it could be discourteous to the transgender to insist that somebody refer to them by the gender that they are presenting as when they have deeply held religious beliefs. I mean, you could say that it's the transgender that is, being offensive there and is trying to force somebody to go against their deeply held beliefs. So what we have here is the police acting in a political way, because they are supporting one side of a political debate here. The force used a stock image of a trans woman with fictitious quotes, which were made up by an experienced officer. But they never said that in the tweet, and it did look as if they were actually talking about actual cases that had actually happened here. So that was part of the criticism as well. The post, which was widely shared on social media, sparked a backlash from Home Secretary Suella Braverman. And as I say, I think it was a We Are Fair Cop that actually brought this to her attention. And they brought the last tweet to her attention as well, that she had to step in and speak out against the police for doing this. That's when she said that they need to be policing crimes and not tweets, and they shouldn't be policing people's pronouns either. Miss Braverman, a qualified barrister, said on Twitter that she believed police forces were confused over what constitutes a hate crime. Hostility has to be shown for it to be a hate crime. She also accused the force of undermining confidence in policing by spending resources on politically correct campaigns, saying officers should instead be fighting actual crimes. And of course, the criticism here is that, well, it's the government that have encouraged all this political correctness. It's the government that were going to bring in this law where people could self-identify. Theresa May was going to bring in this law that people could self-identify. It's the government themselves that are trying to push this political correctness even further to the left by coming up with this idea of non-crime hate incidents, and also with the online harms bill and the legal but harmful terminology. So it's the government themselves that are pushing things away from what is actually legal speech and trying to reclassify it as illegal speech or offensive speech. So it is the government themselves that are actually doing this. But as we see here, the Home Secretary doesn't seem to understand that, and she's blaming the police for this. But the police take their orders from the government, from the lawmakers. In a veiled threat, the Home Secretary said senior officers who sanction such campaigns will have to personally explain them to her. So she's speaking out publicly on this. Will that actually happen? Will she call them to account for themselves? We will have to wait and see. The tweet was later deleted, with Leicestershire Police Chief saying they were sorry that the posts may have caused some upset. And I believe the last time that this happened and they had to remove a tweet, it was about a child molester, and the police were more interested in telling people that they were going to be arrested for dead naming the child molester than they were in these horrific crimes that this person had actually carried out. And then they said that they changed sex to being female after they had carried out these horrific crimes. And Suella Braverman said to them back then that, look, you know, you should be more interested in crimes than what pronouns people are using. Leicestershire Police Chiefs also said they were reviewing how it promotes campaigns because it should have made clear that the image was a stock photo and that the quotes were fictitious. So that wasn't really the reason why people were upset about it. People were upset about it because they were saying that it's a hate crime, which is the equivalent of extreme violence, just to refer to somebody by their birth gender. The tweet was posted on Leicestershire Police's Stay Safe account, which is shared between the force's crime reduction officers and hate crime officers, and the post said, "You can report hashtag hate crime via Stamp It Out." The tweet shared an image of a transgender person named Jane, 57, from Hinckley, who said, "I get called by my previous male name on purpose, but that is not who I am. It can be really hurtful, especially when it is just seen as a joke." So she is admitting there that people see this as a joke when they say it. They're not being hostile. They're not being hostile. They're actually making a joke. They're just being humorous. And the worst you could say about that is, well, it must get quite annoying. If people continually do this and they think it funny, well that's annoying. Should it be considered as the equivalent of violence against a person? I don't think it should be, and I think that's what Suella Braverman is saying here. The force said the image was a stock image obtained by the team, and that the words had been provided by an experienced police staff member who has significant knowledge of the different types of hate crime people can and have been subjected to. Well, obviously they're not that experienced if the Home Secretary has said that this has to be polled because it's not actually correct. I mean, this is an example of mission creep, isn't it? We've gone from words and language which could encourage people to carry out violence against groups with protected characteristics to just any language at all that groups with protected characteristics don't want to hear. And the whole point of a free society and a democracy is that you have to put up with things that you might not want to hear. You have to put up with people having different opinions to your own. We're raising a generation who think that they should never actually have their opinions challenged, and that anybody else has a different point of view to them should be locked up. And having a different point of view is the equivalent to violence. And this really does have to be stopped. It has to be nipped in the bud right now, I think. Responding to the criticism, Temporary Chief Constable Rob Nixon said, "Having examined the posts, I believe we as a force should have made clear that the images were stock images and that the names given were fictitious for illustration purposes. For completeness, I am also having a scenario presented, checked against current national hate crime recording policy. There are no specific homophobic, biphobic or transphobic hate crimes in UK law. But any criminal offence can be judged a hate crime if it is proved that a person committed an offence because of prejudice or hostility to LGBT people." Because lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, they're all groups with protected characteristics. So if an offence has been carried out because of hostility or prejudice to these people, then that makes it a hate crime. So it's actually saying here it's any criminal offence. And the definition of hostility in the dictionary can include things such as being unsympathetic or unfriendly. Most people think hostile, hostility, that means acting violently towards someone, maybe preparing for violence, maybe acting in a warlike way. But it can actually include being unfriendly or unsympathetic. Now, I think when the lawmakers are actually making this law and they came up with this word hostile, I think they meant it in the sort of way that you say a hostile nation is what seeking to cause harm against another nation. I think they meant it as somebody who is trying to cause harm to somebody else. I don't think they meant it to be unfriendly or unsympathetic, because when you come in with language in this, you're saying that anybody who speaks in an unfriendly way about any of these groups, then they're guilty of a hate crime. And of course, it may just be that they don't like these particular people, and we should be free to like or dislike whoever we want to like or dislike. I do think that the people that made this cannot have actually thought about this, that they are actually making it illegal to be unfriendly towards someone, because they're effectively saying that you're not allowed to make your own friends. We're going to make it against the law unless you make friends with these groups with protected characteristics. A court will need evidence that the offender did show prejudice, malice and ill will, for example, because of what was said. And that is what anybody sensible would think. They would think it has to show prejudice, malice or ill will. But in actual fact, all they have to do is show that you're unfriendly or unsympathetic. And that needs to be changed. And I guess the only way that can be changed is by setting precedent in a court of law, because that is the actual wording of this, is hostility. And the word and the guidance is, because we don't have a definition for hostility in law, we just use the dictionary definition. And of course, that is one of the dictionary definitions of it. According to the Crown Prosecution Service, hate crimes are an incident or criminal offence which is perceived by the victim or any other person to be motivated by a hostility or prejudice based on a person's sexual orientation or perceived sexual orientation. And again, you would think there, incident or criminal offence, it's got to actually be talking about something taking place, a physical action, but not necessarily. An incident can be an action likely to lead to grave consequences, or something dependent on or subordinate to something else of greater or principal importance. And of course, they will say that the something else of greater or a principal incident or importance could have been your prejudice against a group with protected characteristics, and your speech is the incident. It's incidental to your prejudice. So they can use these ways to clamp down on people's freedom of speech, basically. Cases where it is proved that an offence was committed or motivated by prejudice can result in an uplift in a person's sentence. And of course, all they have to do to show that is to just go through somebody's social media and find incidences of them saying anything unfriendly or unsympathetic about groups with protected characteristics. Leicestershire Police commented, "Hate crimes are acts of violence or hostility directed at people because of who they are. Hate crime law in England and Wales has developed in various phases over the past two decades, and the law recognises five protected characteristics: race, religion, disability, sexual orientation, or transgender identity." And again, what it says there, hate crimes are acts, and just speech in itself, just speaking, can be considered to be an act. And then they would look at your terminology in your speech to see whether you were being friendly or unsympathetic, and then they could say that it's a crime. Simply what you said could be a crime, simply being unfriendly to somebody because you didn't like their sexuality, or you didn't like their race, or you didn't like their religion. I mean, most people are completely unaware that they've basically made it against the law to not like certain groups of people. I mean, it's very fundamental, I would say, it's a fundamental human right, being able to decide who you like and who you dislike, and not being forced to make friends with people that you don't want to make friends with. But that's effectively what this law is. It comes as Miss Braverman took over as Home Secretary from Priti Patel last month and criticised police over their dealings with climate change and vegan activists, because they are also bringing in this law, which they're saying is to go against climate change and vegan activists, but it could also be used against just normal nationalists that are protesting. Miss Braverman labelled the climate activists, who have been behind a number of high-profile demonstrations in recent weeks, so-called protested, and added that democracies reach decisions in a civilised manner. And this is because we've had these climate activists gluing themselves to the road, or a similar thing, throwing paint over a Van Gogh painting, going into shops and pouring milk everywhere. All sorts of ridiculous protests have been going on. And it's rather suspicious that these protests are going on just as the government are talking about bringing in this bill to limit protesting. She lambasted the protesters for their imagined right to bully the public, adding, "Who do they think they are?" She also issued a stark warning to the police. "I also expect the Metropolitan Police to do a better job of cracking down on these thugs and vandals, as does the public." And I would have liked it if she had brought up the pulling down of the Edward Colston statue there, and the incidents of vandalism and graffiti against the statues of our great and good that took place during the Black Lives Matter riots. It came after 15 days of successive protests by Just Stop Oil, who blocked roads in central London over the weekend, and action by vegan activists Animal Rebellion, which included pouring milk on the floor and meat counters in luxury shops such as Fortnum and Mason. And the security just standing around while these people are just ruining all these perfectly good food by just pouring milk over it. Referring to activists such as those from Just Stop Oil and Insulate Britain, Miss Braveman said those who glue themselves to the road are wildly irresponsible, idiotic, and risking lives. And there was an instance of an ambulance that was trying to get past the other day, and the ambulance with a, I think it was a father in it with his child, and they couldn't get past. They were held up because of this. And I've seen incidents of the French police just pulling these protesters' hands up off the road. They've super glued themselves to the road. And of course, the Metropolitan Police have been getting water for these people, asking them if they're okay. I've also seen videos of motorists just getting out of their car and pulling these people out of the road. And people have got to get to work. People have got to carry on their normal lives. And you've got these crazy climate activists here who think that Britain is responsible for climate change, when you have other countries in the world, India, China, who are trying to industrialise, that are have a lot more, make a lot more pollution than Britain does. But Britain's, you know, we're leading with these green ideas and the green revolution with solar panels and wind turbines and all the rest of it. And obviously, I don't think man can really make that much difference to the climate. Carbon dioxide is just going to make the plants grow faster, and if it warms up a little bit, then what's the difference? It was warmer in the Middle Ages. But the fact is, we already have all these policies that our government are doing, and we're doing more than pretty much any other country in the world. And yet you still have these idiots that are going out there and clogging up the roads and just destroying good food in the supermarkets. And it does seem rather suspicious that they're doing this just at the time as the government want to push this bill through. And a couple of years back, there was protests called Kill the Bill in Bristol, and they had a big violent protest. I remember we did a Daily Nationalist on it at the time. And that was the bill that they were talking about, this bill that's going to enable the government to just stop protests when they want to. So, of course, at the time that they're doing that, they're going to want protesters like this that really do rile the public up and get the public against them to support this bill. So it's rather suspicious that this is all happening now. She threatened future serious penalties in order to deter public disorder in her article in the Mail on Sunday. Her comments come ahead of the Public Order Bill returning to Parliament this week, which the government is hoping will strengthen officers' powers to deal with protesters more quickly. Proposed measures include more stop and search powers to enable police to look for items such as superglue. Accusing protesters of draining police resources, Ms. Braverman will use the bill to allow secretaries of state to apply for injunctions in the public interest where protests are causing or threatening serious disruption or a serious adverse impact on public safety. And of course, they could say, well, you're a right-wing protester, you want to have a right-wing protest, that means that the left are going to be there, which means that there could be a risk of there being some incidents between the two of you. Therefore, it's in the public interest to ban the protest because it could adversely impact on public safety. So you can see that there is a risk that this could get misused. According to the Home Office, this will include protecting access to essential goods, services and key infrastructure. So they're saying they're bringing it in to prevent these climate protesters, but it could also be used just against, say, nationalist protesters or anybody on the right, anybody that disagrees with the government policy. Ms. Braveman said, "I will not bend to protesters attempting to hold the British public to ransom. Preventing our emergency services from reaching those who desperately need them is indefensible, hideously selfish, and in no way in the public interest. This serious and dangerous disruption, let alone the vandalism, is not a freedom of expression nor a human right. It must stop." And as I say, I would have liked to see her bring up the vandalism of the statues there and make a point of talking about this vandalism to the statues rather than just talking about these climate change protesters. The Home Office said the proposed legislation would create a new criminal offence of interfering with infrastructure, such as oil refineries, airports, railways and printing presses. Such an offence would carry a maximum sentence of 12 months in prison, an unlimited fine, or both. Sensible idea. Locking on or going equipped to lock on to other people, objects or buildings to cause serious disruption could see people in prison for 6 months or hit with an unlimited fine. A new criminal offence of tunnelling to cause serious disruption is also being created, which will carry a maximum penalty of 3 years imprisonment, as well as the potential for an unlimited fine. an offensive going-equipped two-tunnel will also be created. Ms. Braverman said it is high time MPs back the bill. She added the police need strengthened and tougher powers to match the rise in self-defeating protest tactics, and that is what the public order bill will do. It's high time Parliament got behind it and put the law-abiding majority first. The Home Office is also promising that stop-and-search measures and new serious disruption prevention orders will support the police, with the latter targeting those repeatedly convicted of protest-related offences. So people that are they are known to be causing trouble. I do think it's right that they go against people that are going trying to cause chaos at airports and to transport, but I am a little bit concerned about this threat to public safety, and if the police think that there could be an incident that might occur, that they will prevent people from protesting, because you could just see that this is going to be used to go against people on the right. Another thing the Home Secretary is talking about, she is set to restrict the total number of foreign students who can remain living in the UK after graduating from university, and this is supposedly to slash immigration numbers. I mean, how much of immigration is actually down to the foreign students, though? Suella Braverman, who was appointed to the role by Prime Minister Liz Truss, has committed to cut immigration and substantially reduce the number of unskilled foreign workers coming to Britain from 250,000 to the tens of thousands. Well, that's what David Cameron promised to do, wasn't it? First off, he said it was going to be 10,000 people a year. Then he said tens of thousands of people a year. Then the Conservative Party said, well, that's not really realistic. We're going to scrap that promise. And now we have Suella Braverman coming back in and returning to it and saying she's going to get the number of unskilled workers down from 250,000 to the tens of thousands. I hope that she does, but we have to bear in mind, Priti Patel kept saying that she was going to be doing all these things that she never actually did. Suella Braverman also wants to reduce the numbers of international students who can apply for a graduate post-study work visa, which allows any student who has passed their degree to remain and work in the UK for at least 2 years. The Home Office is considering restricting visa applications only to those who have completed studies in high-demand subject areas, such as engineering, the Times reports. And what people don't realise here is these visa applications that are for a student, it also allows them to apply for all of their family to come there as support for the student. It's not just for the student, it's for their family as well. University bosses have slammed the Home Secretary's plan, saying it sends a message that the UK is unwelcoming and hostile to international students who bring £25.9 billion per year to the UK economy through fees and spending. So they have a vested interest in this. So much of the education system is now funded by foreigners. And yet what they don't point out here is that, as I say, these foreigners who get this visa and they're allowed to be here for that, they're allowed to bring their family along as well. So it's a worthwhile investment, isn't it? All they've got to do is pay for one of the family to go to university, and then they can bring all of the family over to Britain legally, and then they can claim or they can work on the black market. Graduate visas were reintroduced in July last year after then Home Secretary Theresa May scrapped them in 2012, reducing the length of time recent graduates can stay in the country to just 4 months. So Theresa May was the one that did away with them 10 years ago. That's why we have this huge increase in foreign students. Since the new scheme was introduced, 66,211 international students have been granted the right to remain in the UK, which is 99% of a total of 66,787 applications. So just about every one of these foreign students that wanted to stay has been allowed to stay. Nearly half of all granted visas were given to Indian nationals at a total of 43%. 12% were granted to Nigerian students, and 10% were granted to Chinese graduates. And Chinese graduates are, of course, the ones with the highest average IQ. Indian students are also the largest group of migrants to overstay their visas. Ms. Braverman has said she wants to reduce the number of foreign students studying at British universities after a record high of 500,000 visas were granted last year. 500,000 visas, and yet it's not 500,000 students, is it? If we're looking at the number of students here, 66,000 students. So 66,000 students, and yet 500,000 visas were granted. So each one of those students, there's four or five family members that they're also bringing in. An open letter to Miss Braveman, signed by the chief executives of four groups, which represent over 150 British universities, heavily criticised her proposals. They said that international students are the source of nearly 70% of the UK's education export earnings and bring an average financial benefit of £390 per person across the country, saying that increased international student numbers were a resounding success for the government and something to be celebrated. So 70% of all the money that's been made by these universities since they brought in these tuition fees is now being paid by foreigners. And when they get to come over and they pay for the student to go to university, they can also bring over all their family as well. So it's not really something that we should be celebrating, that all of our resources in education are now going to foreigners rather than going to our own people. And they're saying effectively that if they didn't have the foreign students, they wouldn't be able to afford to run the university, because 70% of the funds are coming from these foreign students. The negative rhetoric suggesting a need to reduce international student numbers is unhelpful and counterproductive, the letter said. It stands to directly impact on the continued success of one of the UK's premier export industries and restrict economic growth. So our education system now, our higher education system now, is one of our premier export industries. Rather than going on helping our own people and raising them up to the best people they can be, what we've actually done is lower the standards so that we can include all these people from these other countries that have, a lot of them have a lower average IQ, which just lowers the standards everywhere, and you end up with lots of people with degrees who really shouldn't have them. And this is all being funded by these foreign students coming into the country, and these universities can't do without them. Such rhetoric is also quickly reported on around the world, sending a message overseas that the UK is unwelcoming and hostile to international students. That is why we would urge the government to restate its commitment to the ambitions set out in the International Education Strategy, and to avoid language that suggests international students and their dependents may be unwelcome in the UK. So they finally admitted it. Right at the end of the article, they admitted that the international students bring along all their immediate family, international students and their dependents. And they're not including the cost of these dependents here. They're saying, well, it brings in money for the education system. Well, what about the cost of these extra four or five people that come along in healthcare, education, the replacement of British workers going for jobs that British people might have wanted to go for? Of course, the excuse is, they always say, oh, they're just doing the jobs that the British people don't want to do. And now they say, oh, well, we have to replace the British people on the television, in the government, in business, because we have to promote diversity. So it changes all the time, the reasons why we actually have these people here. And now they're saying that we need to have them here because they pay for the education system with their fees. So hopefully Suella Braveman is going to do something about that, and I wish her all the best with getting immigration down to the tens of thousands. I doubt whether she'll be able to do it, but I do hope that she does. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.